Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
KFI AM 640, Conway Show. Well, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. If you can believe it, it's already been 20 years. So later on in the program, we'll talk to Steve Gregory. He's got a big special commemorating 9/11. It'll be on tomorrow on KFI from 3 to 5 p.m. Then they'll repeat it again from 8 to 10 p.m. So you got two shots at listening to it tomorrow. And I heard a little bit of it. It's great. It's a lot of audio from when, you know, the planes hit the building and the reaction here from, it was Clear Channel back then, right? I think it was Clear Channel,
right? I think so, yeah.
And Bill Handel was on the air live, and you'll hear that reaction. Plus, once we understood it was a terrorist attack, and it was really huge, big news, it wasn't just a plane that accidentally hit the Twin Towers in New York, this company flipped all the stations. All eight stations went from, you know, music or sports or whatever they broadcast to news, and it was KFI that was heard on all these stations. And a lot of people still today, 20 days later, will say that the first time they ever heard of KFI was on 9/11, when their music was busted into by Bill Handel and the KFI news team talking about 9/11. So that'll be it tomorrow. If you were listening to KFI when that happened, or one of the iHeart Media stations, you'll hear he'll hear that again tomorrow at 3 p.m. So we'll talk to Steve Gregory about that a little bit later on. But right now there's a friend of mine, a guy named Jeff Rolden, who's a very, very good director, writer, producer, and he does really cool documentaries. He did one on Governor Newsom that actually features John Colbell from the John and Ken Show. And he's with us. Jeff Rolden, how are you, sir?
Awesome. How are you doing, Timmy?
I'm doing excellent, buddy. I went home last night and watched it, and there was a million things in that documentary on Vimeo that I'd never even knew about this guy. How did you get all those people to talk about him? There was not only, you know, high-powered, you know, business people and Republicans, but some, you know, independents as well. How did you get all these people to talk about Newsom so openly?
Well, you know what? It's not hard to find people who aren't fans of the governor.
Okay.
So,
all right. I get it.
Yeah. Just put it on Craigslist and, you know, people answered. No.
Right.
It was just a matter of being connected to the campaign when they brought me in and kind of gave their vision of what we wanted to do with the project. And then they would sort of, you know, they actually gave me a lot of creative control and said, who do you think we should have involved? And I just sort of ran down the list of, you know, what we should look for in terms of content and who we should have. And they provided the context and we connected with them. So a lot of the people are already in the film. They're people that are already involved with the Recall Gavin 2020 campaign.
Right.
They were already putting efforts and time into it. And so it was an easy connection.
Right. And what were some of the surprising things that you found out about him through interviewing people? I'm sure, you know, a lot of the stuff that you already knew, but a lot of things you're like, oh, my God, he did this, this, and this. What were some of the more shocking things you found out?
Regarding Newsom?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I think some of the more shocking things are just sort of the things that have to do with the corruption that has to do with, you know, being a politician that accepts donations from certain companies and then, you know, legislation or things are put in their favor to kind of help their cause. And I think that's kind of been the eye-opening thing. The biggest eye-opening thing, I think, has been just sort of the political, the way things politics are, the way the machine works.
Right.
And getting an inside look at that and seeing, if you watch the film, you'll get a feeling for how the good intentions of the of Orrin Heatley, the key proponent, and other people have jumped on board. They're not in this to, you know, they wouldn't be in this fight if it wasn't something that they believed in. That's a good cause. And I've gotten to know them, and they're good people. They have good hearts. And it's interesting just to kind of see from the outside or from the inside how Newsom reacted and tried to defame them and say things that are not necessarily true, or he twists the words. And so it's been interesting to have that inside view, whereas if I was to sort of the general public, you kind of take the governor's word at face value and believe these things that he's saying. So if you watch the film, you'll get that same feeling.
Right.
To be able to kind of discern the difference.
We're going to post it up on our social media, but if you go to Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, and you just look up State of Corruption, Recall Newsom, it's all right there. I'm going to play a little bit of it. But you also got John Colbelt in there as well. Let me play just the beginning of it here, because it is quite long. I think it's 20-some minutes. No, it's almost an hour, right?
Yeah,
okay,
about an hour.
Play a little bit of it right here. We go.
I want to congratulate each and every one of you.
This is November of 2018, where he just won. He became California's newest governor.
Because you stood for courage. Courage for a change. And now I can stand before you knowing I will have the incredible privilege of serving as your next governor.
During the election, Gavin Newsom certainly had appeal in front of the cameras. He was handsome, tall, pretty wife, darling family. But that's about as deep as it went.
He was someone who had cultivated his image in the public eye, and so he had some level of name recognition as well. But then you just had so much spending on his behalf in 2018 to sort of convey that image.
What his handlers try to portray is this clean-cut, hard-working, down-to-earth, one of the guys, you know, that grew up in the neighborhood. And that's so far from the truth. That's not who he is.
That's the mystery of Gavin Newsom. People think they know who he is, and I don't even think he knows who he is.
And that was probably one of the most damning things in the hour, is that people are saying they don't even think he knows who he is, which is like one of the worst things you can say about somebody.
Yeah, that's pretty deep, huh?
But I looked at the polls.
Unscripted.
I looked at the polls today. And they said 60% of the people voting in Tuesday's recall election of Gavin Newsom are going to vote to keep Gavin Newsom in. Well, if that's true, right? And this is one of the reasons I can't believe it. So I was talking to John just before John Colbert left. If that's true, then that means nobody from the 2018 election in November of 2018 until September of 2021 changed their vote at all. Everything went so swimmingly that nobody changed, not a single person changed.
It makes you wonder about the polls and who's creating those and
it does.
Behind them, right?
It absolutely does. But it's a great job. What else do you have up on Vimeo? I know you got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, we had another film that we released last year, Liberty Lockdown.
Oh, that's right.
Kind of led into this. So that's available there as well for people who want to check that out. But it is available on Vimeo for free because this is more about the movement. We want people to be able, if there's any type of influence that this film can have on somebody who perhaps was on the fence or was not even going to cast a vote, but will cast a vote now in favor of removing him, those are the people I want to reach.
Excellent. All right, people can go to Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O.com, right? And then State of Corruption, Recall Newsom is the title of this one. But I appreciate coming Absolutely. On, and maybe we'll talk to you after Tuesday, huh?
That would be awesome. Could I make one little plug
sure,
for an event
absolutely.
That we're having? Rancho Palos Verdes tomorrow. We're having a public screening for press and public, and if anybody's interested, they can email us at, I think Sharon's putting a post on your social media or whatnot, but they can email us at info@recallgavinmovie.com. info@recallgavinmovie.com. That's a 4 p.m. screening tomorrow in Rancho Palos Verdes area. And we'll give more details.
That's great, man. I hope you sell out, right? That'll be a huge crowd.
Yep, free event. So
okay.
Come on down.
Excellent. Thanks, bud. Take care. All right, there he goes, Jeff Rolden. And we'll put up the information on our social media where you can slide into that movie tomorrow. Maybe check it out. It's going to be at 4 p.m. So on your way, you can listen to Steve Gregory on KFI at 3 o'clock, 3 to 5, as you're driving over to the movie. Great week, great weekend set up for you. What the hell? KFI AM 640, the Conway Show. Hey, on election night, which is Tuesday, we'll be treated to, well, yours truly will be here, right? But Crozier will be here, Bellio, I believe Angel Martinez and Russ. That's the those are the, you know, the daily players. And then you're going to have Mark Thompson, and I think Mo Kelly is coming in as well. So it should be an interesting night here. All of your election results or your recall, you know, yes or no results on Tuesday. We'll start at 6 p.m. I'm sure John and Ken will be talking about it all day as well. So go nowhere. This is the station you'll want to listen to, right, with all the latest breaking news on what's going on with the recall. You know, I was just listening to that commercial about, I think it's IntelliLoan, where somebody took money out to, you know, buy a pool or something like that. But Crozier, you're like a construction guy.
All right.
What's the best play for a lot of people right now? There's a lot of people have equity in their home, right? And a lot of people, they can take out a HELOC because they have, their home is now worth much more than they paid for it.
Yeah.
What is a good thing to do in the house that will help the resale value, and as well as you know, just in, you know, make the in the process or the actual art or act of living in the house better? Is it getting the kitchens, the bathroom? Is a pool a good idea? What's a good idea?
Bathrooms and kitchens are
by far
the number, number one and 1A, 1B. Why? Because women are the ones who make the decision about a house usually.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, then I must be a woman, yeah. Right? What the hell? I'll tell you a quick story on the type of person I'm married to, right? It's a good story, so don't, hey, Jen, don't turn the radio off just yet. But we were going to move to Burbank, and I found a house on a street called Cordova. All right? We'll give you much more detail. And I said to, I came home and I said, hey, I saw a house, and I put an offer on it, and without her seeing it, right? And she just trusted me so much that the house closed, right? We bought the house. The deal closed. It's our house. And the first time she saw it was when we pulled up in the moving truck and put stuff in it.
And how did she feel about that?
She liked it, right? But she had never seen it before we moved in.
You are the outlier.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
And now on the reverse of that, a friend of mine bought a house in Orange County. And it was probably about $1,900,000 or something like that. It was a nice home. This is 10 years ago. And they both liked the house. They both moved in, all their stuff and everything. And the first night there, his wife said, I get a real weird feeling about this house. And he's like, oh, F.
You better lose that feeling, baby.
Yeah. And 2 weeks of that, they put the house back on the market.
Wow.
And had to sell it and get another place.
Never found out anything about the house afterwards?
There was nothing about it. She just got a bad vibe about it. And they had to move. Isn't that, I mean, you know, talk about, when you finally move in a house, you know, you want to fix it up. It's your house.
Sure,
you know,
make it yours.
Yeah, and also you want to cruise around to see what your local stores are.
Yeah,
you know,
and always go at night.
That's right.
See what it sounds like. The neighborhood's like at nighttime. You do all that sort of stuff.
Right, and it's also one of the reasons why it's a good idea to buy a home in October, because you know you look for a home in October, right? Maybe on the 15th or the middle of October, you put a bid on a house and maybe they accept it, and then Halloween, you get to meet all the neighbors.
Oh, yeah, right.
You get to walk around and knock on all the doors and see if anybody is crazy, right?
This is a good excuse, right?
Right, yeah. And then you can still get out.
Holidays in general, I think, are good because you get a good chance of the type of neighborhood it is based on how many people and how much they decorate their homes.
That's right, yeah. I want to be in a house where everybody decorates.
Yeah.
I also want to be in Ohio, where my grandparents lived. They were one of probably about 25 homes on a block on East Orange Street in Sugarland Falls. And everybody, without exception, had an American flag outside their house. Mm. Everybody. And there's a street in Burbank. Can't remember the name of it. But there's a street in Burbank where about 95% of the people have flags outside their house.
Nice.
And I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
And whether you're independent, Democrat, Republican, politics has nothing to do with it. But I was toying with the idea of going to all my neighbors' homes and saying, look, if I pay for it, would you put it up? You know, if I'll even put it up, would you mind if I put it a flag? It means a lot to me. I'm thinking about doing that.
Wow.
But I don't know what kind of...
I would love to hear the reaction you get from people.
I know, but don't you think 95% would say yes?
I don't know. This day and age...
It is weird, though, right?
And you could probably put anything. I think an American flag could possibly be like the safest thing that you could approach them about.
That's right.
If you just said anything innocuous, you're going to get people that are going, nope, stay away from me, you know, right. Just in general. I think it's not even anything against the flag necessarily. I think a lot of people these days that would say no isn't because it's the flag necessarily.
I know. Do you fly a flag?
No, I don't. There used to be one. I used to have a thing on the front porch, but yeah.
You know, driving through the Central Valley, I was driving down from Oregon last week. And I saw about four or five in small towns in America. I saw in California, I saw about four or five flags that were dyed in all black. They're American flags. You can clearly see the stars and stripes. But these four houses, one in Colusa, one in like Manning Springs or something like that. I don't even remember the name of the town. And they had an American flag they were flying, but they also flew a black American flag. It was tie-dyed, all black, and they were flying it on the house. Huh. And I couldn't figure out why they were doing that. So when I got home, I looked it up. And when you I'll read it to you real quick. We got a minute here. Yeah. The reason why they do it, it's the take no prisoners flag.
Oh.
Like if you come in here uninvited, you're going to be dead. Somebody else is going to raise your children.
By the way, you were talking about pools. Pools do not generally add value to your house.
They don't?
No. A lot of times they'll actually devalue your house a little bit just because of the upkeep and the maintenance, the money, all of the costs that are associated with it.
Right.
Yeah, so pools. But if you had to choose between bathroom and kitchen, start with the kitchen.
You know, the average, I read this years ago, the average person in California who has an in-ground pool, swimming pool, the average family uses it 8 times a year.
Oh, wow.
Is that unbelievable? 8 times a year, the family gets in the pool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Since we've done all the stuff we've done in the backyard and on the side of the house, we have used our pool and the jacuzzi more times this summer than we combined all the rest of the 20 years that she'd been there.
Yeah, we had a pool in Tarzana. We used it, I think, twice, you know, in 5 years.
I'm going to use my jacuzzi tonight when I get home.
But here it is. In general, black American flags or black flags are used by enemy forces to signify that enemy combatants are going to be killed rather than taken prisoner. So what they're saying by flying a black flag outside, a black American flag outside your house, if you come in, you're not going to call the cops, you're not going to be taken prisoners, they're going to kill you.
That's very confrontational to put on your house.
Isn't it? I mean, you got to be prepared then.
I would have to be living in a really high crime neighborhood to feel the need to put that out on the front of my house.
Right. And you know that anyone comes in is ready for action as well.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know if it's a great idea.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that?
I'm not there yet.
In the process of cleaning up all my garage and stuff, I did come across a brand new, still in the wrapper, a flag holder thing. And I just last week. So I was looking at it going, yeah, I'm going to definitely put that up there. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, all right. Yeah. You put it up, I'll buy the flag.
All right. Big dog.
All right, we're live. When we come back, Steve Gregory's with us. He's got an unbelievable special, 2 Decades Later. I think that's the name of the special. 9/11, 2 Decades Later. And it's 20 years ago tomorrow that we were attacked. Where we lost, I think, 3,000 people. World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and then another plane that crashed in Pennsylvania. A lot of people have very vivid memories of that still. And I remember, I bet most people who are, you know, 30 plus probably know exactly where they were when they heard the news. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Steve Gregory joins us. Nice to see you, man. Hey, look at you, dude.
Hey, what's up?
Ding dong with you.
You as well.
Hey, before we get to talking about your special, where were you on 9/11? What's your story?
I was in Canada. I was stuck. I was visiting friends outside of Toronto, and I was in Ontario. And we got up that morning because it was East Coast out there. So, yeah, I didn't get up until after everything had already happened. And then my friend, I was staying with her and her husband, and she started screaming because she was from my hometown, and she started screaming and she just couldn't believe it and woke me up and went out into the living room, and we sat there and we were glued to the TV for hours. I couldn't get home. Airports were closed, you know, planes were grounded. So it was like a double punch for me. One, that I was watching my country being attacked, and two, as a journalist, I'm stuck in a foreign country and can't cover this.
Right.
So
we had a guy on that week who was a recruiter for the Marines, for the Army, Navy, you know, for everybody. And he said that the first day that they opened the office, he showed up at 7 o'clock in the morning and there were 30 guys in line.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, you know, what's interesting is I was working in Phoenix for Clear Channel, when our former name. And so I was working at KFYI in Phoenix, and the major story coming out of Phoenix was Pat Tillman.
Oh yeah, right.
If you remember that, he was so moved by that.
Yeah, he quit the team.
His Arizona Cardinal player, he went and joined up, became a Marine, and he was one of the first casualties
by a friendly fire, I think, right? I don't think they ever determined.
I don't remember that. I honestly don't remember that part. I just remember that was such a huge issue, a deal for us. It was a local boy at the time, you know, and just it was covering that story. I remember that. And how it started to impact. But to your point, yes, military recruitment skyrocketed and people felt compelled to defend their country and retaliate.
Yeah, there was an amazing amount of young men and women, you know, decided that was going to define, you know, their lives.
So think about that, the youth of 20 years ago, and think about the youth of today. You think you'd have that same kind of
turnout? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't think you would. I really don't. I would hope and pray that you would, but I don't know. Maybe it was different back then, you know, 20 years ago.
Well, I just...
Maybe it's not. I don't know. I mean, there's still some really great, you know, guys and gals out there who come from a military background or a family, or don't even come from a military family, who just don't like to see people left around with this country.
Yeah, but I think today, though, they'd be worried that they weren't getting a break. You know, they weren't getting a break every few hours.
Right. And that they
and there was no barista at the base.
Right. And they couldn't, they'd have to watch what they posted on TikTok, you know.
Oh, my God, the cynicism. Jesus.
You don't think, oh, really, Crozier? So if people heard the conversations.
Crozier's the kind of guy.
If people heard the conversations he and I have had off air, he'd, yeah.
Well, off air is the key. Man. Yeah.
But. Crozier, where were you when this all happened?
I was in the station. I was APD at KLAC. We were playing music, and we were doing a little bit of talk. And the second that it happened, I heard Michelle Cube running down the hall because I saw the second plane hit the other tower.
Oh, wow.
And then I heard Michelle running down the hall. Because we might have been at a break or something at that time or something like that. But I remember her just screaming going down the hallway. And next thing I know, yeah, we switched all the stations over.
Right, yeah. It was.
We never played another song on that station ever again.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
We went to talk full time.
What station was it?
KLAC.
Oh, KLAC. Yeah, okay.
But then it started as sports after 9/11?
We had the Lakers and the Angels at the time.
Oh, okay.
And then, but we weren't a sports station at the time. We were music and talk.
It was playing standards, right?
Standards and talk, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that. That was KRLA was doing the same thing.
Then we went to full
thing.
Talk, and then we eventually went to the Rat Pack type music for a couple of years and then went to sports.
That's wild. All right, so you got an unbelievable special going on tomorrow.
That's right. A two-hour special starts at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Neil Saavedra will do the first hour of the Fork Report live, then he'll toss to us. And then for 2 hours, you'll get to hear a little bit of sort of a not only a recap of that day – in this special is a little different. We're not really going after the emotional angle on this, as a lot of people are already doing that angle. We wanted to kind of seek out to ask the question and get answers to whether or not we're safer today than we were 20 years ago.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
are you going to play some audio of the day it happened?
Yeah, so we have a really great montage at the beginning, not only of the radio segment, but also the podcast, too. We have a 6-part podcast, companion podcast, that will be posted starting tomorrow. We start out with starts out with a radio news report. It starts out like a normal day, New York, and then you've got the actual 9/11 newscast from that morning talking about another beautiful day in New York. Polls are open.
Oh, wow.
Apparently there was a local election going on, and then a little bit of Wall Street they're talking about, and then it goes right into breaking news. And then we start talking about how, while that was going on the East Coast, this is what was going on the West Coast on KFI. Play a little bit of Bill Handel. In fact, I'll play for you now, just real quick.
Let me take a quick break here. Sure, when we come back, we have audio, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m.
And then 8 to 10 p.m.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Steve Gregory with a special tomorrow, 2-hour special, remembering 9/11. Is it called Two Decades Later? Okay. Two Decades Later. And it will be on tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m., also 8 to 10 p.m. One of the things I do remember about 9/11 and watching the coverage is that Peter Jennings, during a commercial break, called up his kids.
Yeah.
I think they were living in New York or Washington, D.C. at the time. And when he came back on the air, he was very emotional about it. I'll play the audio here of Peter Jennings, who was the big anchor for ABC News for years and years and years. And then they come back from a reporter, and he talks about calling his kids during a break.
Or as these planes ended up where they ended up.
Well, thanks very much, Lisa Stark, who has shown a very clear picture many times today on what precisely happened, or at least as much as we know of what happened. Thank you. On board those planes, we do not very often make recommendations for people's behavior from this chair, but as Lisa was talking, I checked in with my children, and who are deeply distressed, as I think young people are across the United States. And so if you're a parent, you got a kid in some other part of the country, call them up. Exchange observations. People have been getting onto sites on the web.
Yeah, he was very emotional about
that.
How
old do you think his kids were?
His kids are probably in their 20s.
Then.
Yeah. I imagine they're in their 40s now.
But think about that for a moment, because I called my folks right away, immediately. Well, they were freaking out about, you know, I was out of the country and everything. But think about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have no idea if your mom or dad was in New York.
What were you doing?
I was living in Encino off on a near White Oak and Ventura on a street called Enfield. And I remember the phone rang at like, I don't know, 6 in the morning, 6:15 or whatever. And then they hung up. And wherever the phone rings at my house before noon, somebody's dead.
Yeah.
You know? And that. So it rang again. And Doug McIntyre, who used to do mornings over at KBC, left me a message saying, Conway, you got to get up. A plane has flown into the World Trade Center. And remember, he said this on purpose. And that always stuck with me. On purpose.
Why would that happen?
So I turned the TV on. And man, oh, man, it just hits you like a ton of bricks. And then you're flipping on all, you know, I brought another TV and another TV, and I was watching 3 TVs at once, you know, CNN and then local stations as well. And everybody was panicked. Everybody was. They brought the planes down, I think, in all the commercial and all the private aircraft in the United States in 40 minutes or so.
Yeah, we do a little bit on that, too.
Okay, so you have audio for us.
Yeah. So, in fact, and that, now that you bring that up, let's go over to ATC chatter number 1, and this is actual chatter when they decided to close airspace.
We're shutting the airplanes down. We're not letting anyone go right now.
Okay. That's a good move. We're waiting to hear from security.
We're putting ground stop on everything. There's a second plane that just hit the World Trade Center.
Stop all departures out of the center, please.
So, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Then it escalates after that.
All departures in the United States.
First time in history.
Wow.
That there was a full ground stop, meaning not only were planes grounded and not able to take off, but all planes that were already in the air were ordered to land.
At the nearest airport.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm going to jump over to Bart A. This is Bart Avery, who owns the Bravery Brewing up in Lancaster. But he was also on duty that morning. The air traffic control center he worked out of is up in Palmdale, and it handles air traffic for the southwestern United States. So when he got the call, or when he walked in, didn't know what was going on that morning, just went into office like normal. And when they realized what was going on, he said all hell broke loose, and they had a huge task in front of them. And I'll let him explain it.
Within about 30 minutes, we got a call from what's called the command center back in Herndon, Virginia. And they basically said, every airplane has to land. Every airplane's going to stop. And that's when I would say all hell broke loose, because it was just something we had never anticipated. It was craziness. And the pilots were, a lot of them did not know what was going on. And there were some very interesting conversations with these pilots. Like, for example, an airplane that had taken off from LAX 20 minutes prior to this shutdown, probably halfway to Las Vegas, was now being, let's say going to London, was now being told to land in Las Vegas. And the pilots that didn't know what was going on were arguing, basically, like, why am I landing in Las Vegas? Within probably 5 or 10 minutes, everybody got the word through their company that can communicate to the flight deck. And everybody was cooperative. Everybody was just going along with the plan. What kind of complicates things that a lot of people don't realize is that if you're on a flight of more than 4 or 5 hours, you've got to dump fuel before you can just go land an aircraft. Oh, yeah. So we had hundreds of aircraft that had to dump fuel. And the coordination on that was very complex because we had to vector airplanes away from populated areas to make that happen.
Wow. That's unbelievable. I didn't even think about that. But
me either.
I guess a lot of these planes, they can't land when they're that heavy.
No, it's like a fireball. If that thing crashes there and it's too heavy. But I said, well, where does one dump fuel like that? They have to put them out all over the desert.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They don't do it over the ocean. A lot of people assume the ocean since of our geographic location. But no, that's environmentally not the choice.
Right.
Unless you're coming in from Hawaii or Asia. But he said, no, they diverted them all out, or as he calls it, vectored them out to the desert.
Wow.
And then sometimes if you're high enough, a lot of that fuel will dissipate in the jet stream.
That's wild. All right. So tomorrow between 3 and 5 p.m.
And then 8 and 10.
And then 8 to 10 p.m.
And then online, KFIM640.com, we have 6 hours of the Bill Handel Show coverage from 9/11. It's cleaned up. And so people can actually hear how KFI covered it that day, including when Handel had to fill in for Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The president of Premier Radio called him and said, you need to fill in for Rush because they grounded his plane. He was on the way to a golf tournament for Warren Buffett.
Wow.
And then we have a 6-part podcast, companion podcast that starts tomorrow and then goes for each 6 days.
Okay. So tomorrow at 3 to 5 p.m., Neil Saavedra does 2 to 3 and then hands it over to you.
Right.
Are you doing it live or is it?
It's produced.
Produced. Okay. All right. Excellent. Great job. I heard a lot of it, and I'll hear the rest of it tomorrow.
Thanks, pal. Always appreciate your support.
Thank you. 3 to 5 p.m. and then 8 to 10 p.m. as well. All right. Steve Gregory tomorrow on KFI. We're live on KFI AM 640.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.